Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
KMOX.
Listen anytime, anywhere.
Get the radio.com app today.
I have a confession. I'm addicted to the news.
You know I'm totally off script right now.
Journalism is cool again, and you have endless content, let's be honest.
And this is how I got elected, by being off script.
Now, Mark Reardon.
Well, I think he's got a lot of hand movement. I've never seen so much hand movement. I said, is he crazy, or is that just the way he acts?
On KMOX.
And they're having a good day. I'm having a good day, too. It was called No Collusion, No Obstruction. But I say it in front of my friends, this should never happen to another president again. This hoax, it should never happen to another president again.
All right, well, the president is taking a bit of a victory lap this afternoon. I'm guessing that the Democrats will feel that it is unwarranted. Good afternoon, everyone. We've been anxiously awaiting the release of the what ended up being a lightly redacted Mueller report. It may be heavily redacted, lots of black marker marks. This one, somewhat likely redacted, and depending on what team you're playing for, if you're on the left or the right, you're going to react, I think, differently to this report. Now, what I've tried to do over the course of my career and my life is apply the same principles to the other side. In other words, if the same exact set of circumstances existed here with a President Bernie Sanders, that ought to scare the hell out of people out there right now, would I be upset? Would I want further investigation? Would I want impeachment? Now, I would like to think that if I was someone out there, I don't want to mention any names. Let's be careful here. Let's say Dave, who can we use as an example? Let's say I'm Jane Duker, and I'm on the Reardon Roundtable every Friday, screaming about impeachment, tweeting about impeachment, talking about the Mueller report. You just wait till the Mueller report comes. So if I'm that person, and Bernie Sanders is president, and I'm sitting here telling people for 2 years, you just wait till that report comes out. He's done. BuzzFeed story comes out, right? Uh-oh, here we go. This is bad. He told Michael Cohen to lie, right? Can't do that. That's impeachable offense. He's gone. The end of his presidency, right? Well, no. Now, the report specifically says here, and we could talk about the I'm effed comment. We'll get to that here in just a moment. It does say that they did not exonerate Trump on the issue of obstruction. No collusion. The president's been saying for 2 years, 2.5 years, no collusion. There was no collusion. Now, it sounds like the Mueller team thought that they might be able to indict him on obstruction, but they made that decision not to approach it as a chargeable crime, not only because the Department of Justice has a policy of, you know, not indicting sitting presidents, but also because it would do broader harm to the Republic, if you will. But then they said, well, they can't clear him either. So here's Bill Barr. This morning, he releases the report. It's 400 pages. I haven't even read probably one-tenth of the report because I've been gathering audio and trying to figure out what people think, and we have some reaction this afternoon. But I did listen to the Q&A this morning in the news conference from Bill Barr. He talks about the redactions.
No redactions done by anybody outside this group. There were no redactions done by anybody outside this group. No one outside this group proposed any redactions, and no one outside the department has seen the unredacted report.
All right, so the report's redacted. It's not heavily redacted. Most of what I think people want to see is in here. But then the issue of obstruction.
I'd leave it to his description in the report, the special counsel's own articulation of why he did not want to make a determination as to whether or not there was an obstruction offense. But I will say that when we met with him Deputy Attorney General Rosenstein and I met with him, along with Ed O'Callaghan, who is the principal associate deputy. On March 5th, we specifically asked him about the OLC opinion and whether or not he was taking the position that he would have found a crime but for the existence of the OLC opinion. And he made it very clear several times that that was not his position. He was not saying that but for the OLC opinion, he would have found a crime. He made it clear that he had not made the determination that there was a crime.
So there's all these areas that the team was looking at. The campaign's response to the reports about Russian support for Trump. You have Comey and Michael Flynn. You had the efforts to curtail the special counsel's investigation. That's when you have the situation where the president is finding out that Jeff Sessions is a rat and a weasel, even though Jeff Sessions is the guy that supported him more forcefully and earlier than anyone else. But now that he appoints a special counsel and he doesn't want to be a part of this, he's, you know, off the list. And this is what happens with this president. But he also says, look, I'm effed, because he thinks, now this is where you're going to have to get into his mind, which is a maybe a dangerous place to be. Did he say that because he thought he was going to be found guilty of something? Or seemingly, did he say that because he thought, look, this is going to be a big burden on this administration. It's going to drag on forever, just like they have these special counsel investigations in the past. But it's hard for me to believe, and I know that Jerry Nadler just did a news conference. You have all the Democrats sort of digging into this right now. Doug High, who used to work on The Hill, one of our regular contributors, is going to come on here in a couple of minutes and give us his take. We have Senator Blunt this afternoon and other response as well. But I can't see how any of you who have been waiting and begging for this to be bad for Donald Trump think this is good for your side. And, you look at CNN this morning and the faces on CNN, I felt bad for them, really, because they're all bummed out that they can't just rip into the president because there's no evidence of collusion. And then they're going to focus on obstruction. In fact, let me just go to the, I just saw this on STL today. And this will give you another example. So the headline, because they got to come up with a headline that's bad for the White House, Trump tried to choke Russia probe, oust Mueller. Well, yeah, maybe is that the accurate word? He tried to choke him out. He didn't like it. There's no doubt about it. But I do think if you look at the examples that have been offered up in this report, not to give the president a pass. Let me use this as an example. I do think you have a guy that didn't know what he was doing as president, because we hear he's not presidential. There was a big, steep learning curve for this guy. He wasn't in politics. That's why he was elected. That's why people wanted him in the White House. It took me a while to get that, as you might remember going back to 2016. But when it comes to this report, Mueller even says that of all those things, whether the conduct with Michael Cohen, I mentioned the BuzzFeed report. Don't forget that that thing drops and everyone acts like it's this big bombshell and it's realistic. And I even said, I'll admit candidly, that at the time my response was, I think we need to kind of go slowly on this, but it doesn't sound like something based on what I know about this president that he would not do. In other words, it was certainly legitimately something I could see the president doing, asking Michael Cohen to lie. But that, in fact, this report specifically says that that didn't happen. So on these other things, whether it's firing Comey or trying to get rid of Mueller and all these things, the report says that a lot of that fell within the purview of the president, just as far as some of the things that he did, the behavior. And a lot of things took place in public, things that he did or said when he was on the campaign trail or doing events or, I guess, even Twitter. Now, clearly, Ned Morrissey wrote about this morning on Hot Air, that doesn't make them less criminal as obstruction. If you obstruct justice, if there's proof that you did that, you broke the law, it's still obstruction, whether you did it in public or in private. But he points out in the report, it actually might show that they weren't intended as such, that here it says, if the judgment is informed by the totality of the evidence, the clear implication is that Mueller believed that Trump intended to obstruct the investigation. And then Democrats are going to see, this is what Ed says, expect Democrats to seize on that paragraph as they start subpoenaing everyone mentioned in the categories of potentially obstructive actions. The bottom line here, this is going to go on. They're going to call hearings. They want Bill Barr up there. It's going to be a big show. But is there anyone out there that truly believes, and I don't care if you voted for Trump, you didn't vote for Trump, you hate Trump, you want someone else, you love Bernie Sanders, do you really think this is going to make any difference at this point? The overriding goal on the part of my friend Jane Duker and other people on the left is to get rid of Donald Trump, to get him out of the White House, to impeach him, maybe to send him to prison. They can't do that now. So what are they going to do? Well, they're going to keep at it, but they're not changing minds of anyone. Everyone's kind of dug in on that position. What's going to make a difference next year is who the Democratic presidential candidate is. And this is fascinating because the guy leading the pack right now is someone that Jane and others have told me, and you've heard this on the roundtable, well, he's not a Democrat. Well, guess what? He might be your Democratic presidential candidate. So whether he's a Democrat or not, Donald Trump wasn't really a Republican, doesn't matter. He's going to maybe be the guy. I still am going to hold out a little judgment on that because I think there's a long way to go. But they're disassociating themselves with him, even though he's the guy. It's the opposite of what they did with Hillary. They didn't like her either, but they latched onto her. We've got to take a break. Doug High coming up, Senator Blunt this afternoon. Lots to get to. Chrissy Metz, who is on This Is Us, is in the movie Breakthrough, based on the story of John Smith from St. Charles, fell through the ice in Lake St. Louis. And it's an amazing story told in this movie that comes out, I guess, technically tonight. It may even open up last night for the long Easter weekend. So my interview with Chrissy, she came to town a few weeks ago, coming up in the 3 o'clock hour.
You've heard the news. Now have your say. With Mark Reardon on KMOX.
Hey, did I complete my thought a few minutes ago? Because I often don't do that. Some of you might know that. But I was going to say, and it's going to be repeated if I didn't complete my thought. If I was someone like Jane, I can't wait for tomorrow on the roundtable, and I've been setting all these stupid things or saying all these stupid things about impeachment and indictment and the president's in trouble and blah, blah, I'd feel kind of dumb right now. But they won't, and she'll be with us tomorrow afternoon. In fact, we got a good panel tomorrow. Jeff Smith, former state senator Gene Evans, who is the executive director of the state Republican Party. We're going to rock it out tomorrow afternoon. The office closes here, Entercom St. Louis, at 1 p.m. I will not be here because they're shutting me. Wait a second. I have to still be here? I'm told I still have to be here, even though we've shut the office down. If you do miss the roundtable or any other part of the show, you can always download the podcast at KMOX.com/Reardon. You can listen live by downloading the radio.com app, and you can always follow on Instagram and Twitter. Instagram is Mark Talk and at Mark Reardon KMOX. Doug High with me this afternoon to talk about the release of the Mueller report. He, of course, is a CNN political contributor, former communications director for the RNC, spent a lot of time up on the Hill. Hey, Doug, how are you this afternoon?
Good to be with you. What a day.
Have you dug into it here? Have you had time? Because it's 400 pages, right?
Well, I've done about as much digging as I can. And, you know, for some context, I'd remind you, you don't know. So when the Starr report came out, I worked in the House of Representatives. And I think the same thing is happening. And from conversations I'm happening, I know the same thing's happening, even though Congress is out right now. Basically, offices are saying, okay, you've got pages 1 to 20, you've got 21 to 40, you've got 41 to 60, and on and on. Through that, and obviously newsrooms are doing the same thing, I'm seeing a whole lot of what's in the report. Obviously not what's been redacted, but I've seen a lot of the report, and I think this is a very mixed message.
Yeah, it seems that. So the focus so far on including on the network that you appear on CNN, is the question of exoneration. And I do want to get to the president's comments. A lot of focus on the president saying, you know, I'm effed, my presidency is over, when he finds out that the special counsel is going to look into some of this. Now, he seemingly, if you look at that, did he mean that was because this is going to be a long, lengthy process, going to mean it's going to interfere with policy? I don't know. But on the issue of exoneration, I've heard it's interesting to hear the different spins on this, Doug, as we're all familiar with, because you could say, well, look, there is no evidence of obstruction or collusion, but we can't prove it criminally, but that doesn't mean you're exonerated. Now, in the case of Jussie Smollett, he was guilty of something and they just didn't decide to prosecute it. In this case, there's no guilt that's been assigned to the president, just more questions.
More questions. And, you know, essentially what the report did was say, we're not going to make a decision. Hey, Congress, you can make a decision. And, you know, this is also then part of how politics obviously affects or infects everything. And, you know, as you know, I've been pretty critical as a Republican, pretty critical of Trump. But politically, this was set up for him then to, as long as there wasn't definitive proof of collision, that then politically Trump could declare a victory. And I think that's because, you know, for 2 years now, we've seen Adam Schiff on TV every day, or Eric Swalwell on TV every day, or, you know, take your pick of Democrats, and certainly an overdriven media atmosphere where anything that wasn't definitive proof of collusion, you know, and that word being the critical word politically, Trump can declare victory. I emailed a friend of mine who works with the administration and asked if Trump would be sending Adam Schiff some flowers.
Which would not be a bad move, right?
No. Very publicly, yes.
So, you know, there seems to be also some consensus on this, that this could have been a whole lot worse for the president and people in the White House if some of the people who were being asked to do some things would have done them. But Corey Lewandowski and Don McGahn and others, they decide, well, McGahn's like, I'm quitting. I'm not going to do this. Mm-hmm. But they didn't obstruct. I mean, there's no proof of obstruction because they didn't obstruct, because they didn't do anything. But obviously, if they took it on themselves to do some of the things that perhaps were hinted toward, that would have been a different report.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I've been on, not in the legal sense of what Corey or Don have gone through. And I should, you know, full disclosure, both are friends. I was at Don's wedding, actually. You know, as a political staffer, you often have to make the decision of, you know, what orders from your boss do you listen to or not? And part of that is because your job is not just to be an advocate for your boss, but to protect your boss, and sometimes from themselves. And certainly that's what what this report is really outlining, is where did staff protect Donald Trump from himself? And that also is, I think, you know, as we talk about this being an exoneration, which it sort of is, but sort of isn't, this is also kind of the thing that gets lost in this. So often we've heard, well, we should all be proud that our president didn't collude with Russia. I would say, you know, we should expect that no American politician would collude with Russia. This isn't a attaboy, pat him on the back. This is the bare minimum.
I think you're right about that. Let me put this into perspective, too, because he's not happy. We know this. We've heard it. He's not happy that Jeff Sessions recuses himself and then the special counsel gets, appointed. So this is one of the quotes from the interviews in the report. Quote, you're telling me that Bobby and Jack didn't talk about investigations, the Kennedys, or Obama didn't tell Eric Holder who to investigate? That was something he said to Steve Bannon and to Don McGahn. So Bannon recalls that the president's very upset that Bannon had ever seen him and that he screamed at McGahn about how weak Sessions was. But again, this is a president who really doesn't know much about being a president. He's venting, too. There's a difference between venting and obstruction. I'm not trying to cover up everything for Trump, because there are things that I, you know, and I think the audience knows that I would not defend him on. But I do think you have to look at this realistically from a guy. You can't give him a pass on breaking the law, but you can certainly understand that he's in a situation that he's unfamiliar with.
Absolutely. And look, people think out loud, and maybe they shouldn't. And this was a private conversation that's now a public conversation. You know, I certainly understand that. And if you look at, put it in the context of the conversations over the past week about whether or not migrants were going to be sent into Democratic congressional districts, I can hear that conversation happening crystal clear. That doesn't mean that kind of out loud rumination is actually a plan that you put into action. And those are two different things. And I think we should be mindful of that. And unfortunately, in all of this, and this is why I think while today's a milestone day, it doesn't change anything. Voters' minds have been so set on Trump,
yep,
good or bad, that if you want to see Donald Trump exonerated, you've seen it today. If you want to see Donald Trump, if not guilty, certainly going down that road, well, you've seen that today as well.
Yeah, it just depends. And I mentioned this. I had Lisa Desjardins on from the NPR News Hour yesterday. She's a friend. And I said, look, it depends what team you're playing for. You know, I think that's how you're going to come down on this. So where do you think this heads next, though, with Congress, with Adam Schiff, and with the House in particular?
Yeah, I think basically this isn't over. It's just entered a new phase. And we will see more hearings. We'll see more testimony. Obviously, Mueller is going to be called to testify. So we'll have another big flashpoint day where it's not clear to me what the resolution will be, only a continuing of the muddied waters that we've seen. And I think you can kind of say that all sides are to blame here. You know, this was amazingly politicized from day one. I think Democrats went way too far on day one, but also because, as we've seen, a lot of folks on the Trump campaign were doing things that they shouldn't have been doing.
Bill Barr came under some heat because when he testified before the Senate Appropriations Committee, he talked about spying that might have occurred on Trump's presidential campaign from the Justice Department. And, you know, that became a bit of a talking point. But why wouldn't you? And this is, I think, an undercover story. I don't know what happened. I don't know if there was political motivation for some of this. But I do think that Bill Barr in the Justice Department should or somebody should look into that.
Yeah, I do, too. But we should also be clear in, you know, Barr chose the word spying on purpose. You know, spying is a very different word than investigate, you know, for instance. And if police are doing a stakeout, well, you could define that as spying, or they're trying to figure out what actually happened. And, you know, by I think using the term spying, it really plays into a paranoia that a lot in the administration have, that the deep state is always out to get them. You know, we need to figure out exactly what happened and why it happened. But when the attorney general is using words like that, you know, that can color how things get interpreted, no question. And that's, I think, one of the troubling things about kind of the lack of independence that we see or the symbiotic relationship that we see between the White House and the Justice Department that just shouldn't be. And I was critical of Eric Cantor, he was my boss. I was critical of Eric Holder for being too cozy with the Obama White House. It's a lot cozier today.
Yeah. You're right about that. That is a little problematic. Doug High, great to have you on. This will roll on and continue. We'll talk soon.
Thank you.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Round one of the Stanley Cup playoffs between the Blues and Jets. Tied at 2 wins apiece. Now get ready for Game 5 tonight. Pre-game skate at 7. The puck drops at 7:30. And you can hear it here on your voice of the St. Louis Blues. KMOX.
It's time to move on. Total exoneration. The president's in a great mood. And I think what's incredibly important here is that democracy in the world's greatest country, greatest democracy, flourishes. You don't need to collude with a foreign government. You don't need to get information from WikiLeaks. You can win elections fairly and squarely. Well, the president said all along it's a witch hunt and it's a hoax. I just called it a political proctology exam, and we emerged with a clean bill of health.
That's Kellyanne Conway. I have a feeling her husband might not agree. The response to the Mueller report, we're joined this afternoon by United States Senator Roy Blunt. Senator Blunt, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm good. Do you agree with Kellyanne Conway? Is it an exoneration? This word is getting tossed around. I guess Bob Mueller's report says it's not necessarily, but the White House certainly feels it is. I mean, it's hard for me to feel that this is not, maybe not a total exoneration, but a pretty full exoneration.
Well, that's my view also, and I think it's interesting that Bob Mueller went from the ultimate appropriate decider of all things to maybe not such a good judgment of what he should have done, what he shouldn't have done. I had a lot of confidence in him the whole time. You'll recall the many times people were saying, we want to have something that where you can't fire him. And every time I said, no, he works for the president. We didn't set up this separate thing. The president could fire him, but it would be a huge mistake if the president fired him. The president needs to benefit from letting this credible guy take this to the end of the trail. And, you know, when you've got unlimited scope, unlimited money, and unlimited time, you can find out embarrassing things about anybody, I think, in the world, certainly almost anybody I know. But what you didn't find was any collusion, nor did you find any proof of obstruction, anything that you could actually go ahead and make an actual charge where a law was broken, which is really what the Justice Department is about, laws. The Justice Department is not about attitudes. It's not about concepts. It's not about Comey did when he said everything that Mrs. Clinton did and then at the end said, but she didn't violate the law. His job is the law. His job is not to figure out everything that anybody ever did that was less than perfect. And I think this is pretty conclusive. Now, 400-page document with all kinds of things in it, I'm sure you can find things in that document. And I do think, I looked at it earlier today. I haven't had time to go fully through it yet. I did have a little staff briefing from the Intel Committee. You know, we've been looking for 2 years at the collusion part of this. And I think that the conclusion the Attorney General reached is the right conclusion. And I think people are ready to move on, except for people who have made a living now out of talking about the Mueller investigation.
So a couple things that sort of jump out to me from the report, and despite the fact that there's no collusion that was proven, no obstruction of justice that was proven, there's this pattern of behavior, and this is reading from Volume 2, page 157. The incidents were often carried out through one-on-one meetings in which the president sought to use his official power outside of the usual channels. These actions range from efforts to remove the special counsel and to reverse the effect of the attorney general's recusal to the attempted use of official power to limit the scope of the investigation, etc. And that's, you know, goes to the, we've talked about this a little bit, Senator, this afternoon when you weren't on the show, where he said, upon learning that the special counsel was appointed, I'm effed, and was not very happy about that. Does that trouble you at all, just the pattern of behavior that's illustrated in this report?
Well, let's break that down just a little bit. On that comment that he first made about how this was going to have a terrible impact on him, if you're him and you believe what the report ultimately shows, that there is no collusion and the whole investigation is about collusion, you have to believe this is a bad thing for your presidency.
Yeah, right.
The president doesn't understand still, and certainly didn't understand then, a lot of the dangerous power of the federal government, in my view. But he did know enough about it then to know that this cannot be a good thing, and probably turned out to be every bit as bad as he thought it would be, based on the fact that he didn't believe he did anything wrong, and the report says he didn't do anything wrong. And then you get to focus on, well, what did he try to discourage an investigation of something he didn't do that he knew wasn't wrong? That's a pretty wild stretch, too, you know, that the president was angry about this and upset about this and was talking about that during the entire time of the report. And that is trying to obstruct justice. Now, what kind of justice do you have if you know that you didn't do it and you know that the ultimate conclusion would be you didn't do it? You obviously would take the view that this thing is not serving anybody any good and it needs to stop.
Well, look, I think if you look at the context, even let me just put that in the greater context, and I think you have there as well. The quote was, when he learns that Bob Mueller's been appointed, he goes, oh, my God, this is terrible. This is the end of my presidency. I'm effed. And he goes on to say to Jeff Sessions, how could you let this happen, Jeff? Because he had heard that special counsels ruin presidencies. The investigation could take years and years, and it took a couple of years. I won't be able to do anything. So it seems like the concern there was not necessarily on himself personally, but on the fact that it would ruin his presidency and perhaps not allow him to do some of the things he promised the American people.
Well, how much history the president knows, I don't know for sure. But I do know that the first 6 months, the first 1 year of a presidency, are your great opportunity to get things done. That's why I've been so disturbed by the Democrats stretching this nomination process out, because that, one, it didn't let people get to work, but it also meant we couldn't get to anything else while we were trying to do that. So anybody that had even remotely watched the presidency would know that anything that eats up time in the first 12 or 18 months you're president has an incredible impact on your ability to get things done. I think there may be no presidency where that's not been the best 18 months of the presidency. Whatever happened at its best almost always happened there. And I'm sure there are exceptions to that, but generally that would be true. And the president knows that. And in terms of that quote, if he'd have said, our president's really going to be incredibly hampered, my presidency is going to be incredibly hampered by this, that would not be nearly as fun to talk about as the quote that's in there. And also, it probably more just as likely what he meant when he said that, too. And he was right. He was right,
well, that's
by the
true
way.
Too.
His presidency was messed up by it, and it was messed up for a long time. And, you know, maybe that's a prescient way to say something in the roughest possible fashion.
Well, I think you're right about that. Look, there are a lot of these things that are going to just keep getting hashed back and forth, and everyone, as I've pointed out several times, I think it, to a certain extent, depends on what team you're playing for. But let me ask a question about Bill Barr. Doug High was on one of my political correspondents. You probably know Doug a few minutes ago. And look, a lot of us, and probably Senator Roy Blunt, was critical of the cozy relationship that President Obama had with Eric Holder. So this is a pretty cozy relationship between Bill Barr and the president. I'm not so sure I'm completely comfortable with that.
Well,
are you?
I'd have to think through that. I don't have any reason to believe that they have been any kind of lifelong friends or anything like that. In fact, the friendship is probably Bill Barr and Mueller, not Bill Barr and
well,
the president.
True. That's true, too.
Bill Barr's been attorney general before. The president's not going to fire him. He has nothing to prove at this point. I'm of the view that he is doing what he believes is the right thing. You know, the redactions, for instance, I think that's exactly right. The grand jury redactions, nobody even wants to argue that very much, because we know that grand jury testimony is supposed to be held in that way. From the Intel Committee perspective, the so-called sources and methods redaction, where you could find out some of our sources that would be very harmful if that was known. The further prosecution redactions, totally appropriate. You don't want to tell somebody it's being appropriated evidence that they will need to find out at the right time rather than the wrong time. And the other redaction, the idea that you're not going to put information out there that needlessly damages third parties, I think is important. You know, the power of the federal government is ominous. The power of the Justice Department to focus in on you, and particularly the power of a special prosecutor, unlimited time, unlimited money, unlimited assignment, you know, so-called unlimited scope, this is not to be used to prove just how intimidating the government can be if they decide they want to make you an example of something. And so I think those are all right. I looked at that report some. I've got my staff checking a little more to go back. I didn't have a color-coded copy.
Right.
So I think where you have some significant redaction is mostly in the sources and methods part of the part about collusion. And, you know, so that's, of course, those are the pages that get held up before the camera. But when you look through this report, it's pretty lightly redacted. There are many pages that only have one or two words or no words at all. And there are a few pages that are almost all obliterated because it's a topic that involves one of those other four topics. I think it's
lightly
redacted. It's out there for people to see. And I don't have any reason to believe that I don't know Bill Barr well, but I've known him a long time. I don't have any reason to believe that he serves any purpose by doing anything other than the good job he did when he was Attorney General the first time. And I believe he and Rod Rosenstein are trying to do that right now.
Senator Roy Blunt, I ran long here. I apologize. Thank you for joining us with the response this afternoon. I appreciate it.
Hey, great to talk to you. See you soon.
All right, back with more in a moment.
St. Louis's news, traffic, and weather. News Radio 1120, KMOX. Depend on it.
All right, so I mentioned this earlier. So you got Jerry Nadler, who is he's the chair of the House Judiciary Committee. He says he wants Mueller before that committee as soon as possible. They're going to try to string this out as long as they possibly can.
Contrary to the Attorney General's statement this morning that the White House, quote, fully cooperated, unquote, with the investigation, the report makes clear that the president refused to be interviewed by the special counsel, and refused to provide written answers to follow-up questions. That is why I have formally requested that Special Counsel Mueller testify before the House Judiciary Committee as soon as possible so we can get some answers to these critical questions, because we clearly can't believe what Attorney General Barr tells us.
We can't believe it's Mueller who did the report, Jerry Nadler. I mean, they're going to keep stretching this. I think the bottom line here, look, if you're a partisan, and I know a lot of people who listen to a show like this, if you listen to talk shows, political talk shows, you're partisans. So if you're on the left, you're fired up. You think that this guy's got to go down. If you're on the right, you probably give the president a bit of a pass on a lot of these things. You think it was a witch hunt. It's a hoax. You know, big waste of time. I think I would land somewhere in the middle, and I think a lot of people might land somewhere in the middle. However, the bottom line is there's no crimes that were provable here. So do you move on? Well, we probably should, to think about the country. I think that was one of the points maybe even Bob Mueller made in this report. But they're not going to do that. And I think you might have to advise Jerry Nadler and Adam Schiff and Jane Duker on the roundtable tomorrow and others. You might want to tread lightly, because you got half the country still, well, maybe a little less than half, still supports Trump. The rest of them who hate him, they're not going to change their minds anyway on this. And I don't think this is going to change one person's mind out there about where they are in the president, whether or not he did things that were inappropriate. There is no smoking gun. I mean, if the best you have is the president being, you know, kind of hacked off that he's under investigation when he thinks he did nothing wrong and he says, I effed up, this is going to ruin my presidency. If that's the smoking gun, you don't got a whole lot there. Now, if the smoking gun is he said to some people, well, go, you know, and the special counsel, let's get rid of this, and they didn't do it, Corey Lewandowski and others. So there's no obstruction. There was a president who really was pretty new at that job, who shoots off his mouth a lot and tweets a lot, and that's basically what they have right now.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.